Let's turn in our Bibles now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Our scripture reading today will be the first 11 verses of Matthew 21. I'll read the first and the odd-numbered verses, and Pastor Brian will lead you in the reading of the even-numbered verses, and as we stand to read the Word of God. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples,
saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me.
And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send them.
All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying,
Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass.
And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them.
And they brought the ass and the colt, and out on them their clothes, and put on them their clothes, and they set him therein.
And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way.
And the multitudes that went before and those that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?
And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today of just again acclaiming Jesus, son of the prophet of Nazareth. Lord, we pray that today, our hearts will be open just now by the Holy Spirit to receive, Lord, your word and your truth. Minister to your people today in a very special way. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This week, we are continuing our journey through the Bible, Ezekiel's chapter 21 through 25. Tonight we'll be looking at this portion of the scripture, but this morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 24th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning there with verse 14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back, and neither will I spare. Neither will I repent. According to the ways and according to the doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. So the Lord is declaring how his word is certain. I said it and I will do it. The sure word of God. If God said something, what do you suppose are the probabilities of it actually happening? It might interest you to know that so far he's batting 1,000%. At the time of Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple, he declared in 1 Kings 8:56, Blessed be the Lord that has given rest to his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there has not failed one word of all of his good promise. And since the days of Solomon, it's still true. Not one word has failed of all that God has promised to do. Not all of it is yet fulfilled, but up to this point, he's right on. It can safely be said that God keeps his word, and you can count on God keeping his word. And it's important that you do indeed, do count on God is going to keep his word. His promises are true. They are yea and amen. In him there is neither saddle nor variableness of turning. Ezekiel is here prophesying in chapter 24 the destruction of Jerusalem. He begins the 24th chapter declaring, "Again in the ninth year, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of the same day. And the king of Babylon has set himself against Jerusalem and against the same day." So the Lord is saying, write down this day. This is the day that the king of Babylon has begun the siege of Jerusalem. The ninth day of the in the year of the reign of King Zedekiah. 500 miles away in Jerusalem on this very day, as the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, who was in Babylon at the time, 500 miles away, saying, this is the day that the siege of begins of Jerusalem. He didn't have a telephone. He didn't have radio contact. It would take several days for them to know the day that the siege began. And yet, here's the Lord speaking to Ezekiel and telling him it's going to start this day. And thus, God is able to reveal unto the prophet what he is doing, and the sure word of God, you can be sure it's going to come to pass. It would be weeks before the runners could come and tell them of this particular date and day that the siege began, and yet the Lord was able to reveal it to Ezekiel far in advance. It's interesting how Ezekiel liked to use sort of illustrations for his message. And with this particular message, the Lord told him to put on this great pot and set it over the fire, pour water into it, and put in all kinds of cuts of meats with the bones that they might be boiled. And so this boiling cauldron is a picture of Jerusalem that is now being besieged by the Babylonian army, and all of the city is on fire. None will be spared. The choice pieces of the meat are the king and his family, and they represent the king and his family. And he boils the whole mixture down until the scum rises, but he continues to boil it until all is consumed, even the scum is consumed. And it's the picture of Jerusalem and the trial that they're going to go through, as they're going to be like on a boiling cauldron. And so God thus pronounces his judgments upon Jerusalem, and he declares there in verse 14, as we read, "I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back, and neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings, they shall judge thee, saith the Lord God." So he gives a threefold confirmation of the truth of the matter. He said, "I have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it." And there is no changing. But he tells them, "I will not go back. I will not spare. And I will not repent or change. God said it. God said, I'm going to do it." But what can you say? Well, history tells us that it did come to pass. He did just as he said he would. The Babylonians began their siege. Jerusalem became like a boiling cauldron, and the people that were in it were all really destroyed. So the faithfulness of God to keep his word, that should bring you great comfort, or it should bring you great terror. It all depends and how you're living. If you put your trust in the Lord and in his word, then it's great comfort to know that God is going to do just exactly what he said he will do. If you've gone against the word of God, if you're living in sin, then you should be terrified by the fact that God always keeps his word. For God's word says in Psalm 19 or 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all of the nations that forget God. Jesus, who taught more about hell than any other person in the Bible, declares concerning it and warns over and over again concerning the torment and the suffering of those who are in hell. One example out of Mark's gospel, Jesus said, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to be crippled through life than having 2 feet be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the maggots do not die and the fire is not quenched. Some people say, well, I don't believe in hell. So what? That doesn't change the facts. You know, whether you believe it or not, doesn't change at all the fact that it does exist. And, you know, Jesus, I think, knows a lot more than you do. And he did believe it and spoke of it so much. And the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible here is affirming the certainty of God's word. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he a son of man that he should repent. What he has said, shall he not do it? What he has spoken, shall he not make it good? Isaiah 48 declares, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Paul wrote it to Timothy, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world ever began. Peter wrote, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God declared concerning the Jews, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. And the desolate land will be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they were saying, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are fenced and are inhabited. And the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. I plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. So God keeps his word. He said, I said it, and I will do it. Now, Ezekiel wrote this back in about 587 BC, over 2,500 years ago. If you had gone to Israel 100 years ago and you looked at the land, you would say, well, God's word did not come to pass. He didn't keep his word, for Israel was just a barren desert land 100 years ago. But in the last 100 years, Israel has blossomed, as the Bible predicted, budded and blossomed like a rose. They that have come from Zion have actually built and planted, and it is a very lush, fertile land today. And it's just a glory to visit because of looking at the agricultural development, looking at how beautiful, verdant, and all the land is. But it happened in the last 100 years. And so, but yet it did happen, and that's the main thing. God does keep his word, not always on our time clock, but on his. And you can trust that the word of God is going to be fulfilled. So, as the prophet said, this land that was once so desolate has become today like the Garden of Eden. The cities are rebuilt and now inhabited. I think of all of the wonderful promises that Jesus gave to us and what sure assurance it gives to me to know that he does keep his promises. I think of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a wonderful promise. Not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can put your trust in that. God keeps his word. If you believe in him, you're not going to perish, but you have the gift of eternal life, everlasting life through him. Actually, John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He keeps his word. He keeps his promise. He's coming again in order that we might be with him in his kingdom throughout eternity. There are many promises he gave to those who were overcomers, especially in the book of Revelation, as he addresses the churches of Revelation there in chapters 2 and 3. He gives wonderful promises to them. To the church of Ephesus, he said, "To him that overcomes, I'll give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Beautiful promise. Eating of the tree of life, they're in the midst of the paradise of God. The church of Laodicea, he said, "He that overcomes will not be hurt of the second death." To the next church, Smyrna, he said "He that overcomes, I'll allow to eat of the hidden manna. I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows except he that receives it." In the church of Philadelphia, he said, "He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." That would be, said Philadelphia, I think it's Laodicea. "He that overcomes, the same will be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels." These are promises. And you can be sure when you stand before God, the books are open. And Jesus will stand forth if you've trusted in him. And he'll just claim you as his own. And he'll confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. It should be noted that he also did declare that if you denied him before men, he would deny you before his Father, which is in heaven. So, as I said, the fact that he keeps his word can be a blessing, a comfort, a strength, or it can be a terrifying thing to realize, if I deny him, he will deny me. But the beautiful thing is, if I'll just confess him, he will confess me as one of his. Final church there, "To him that overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." The Bible basically teaches that as you go through life, there are two paths that you can take: the path of the Lord or the path of unrighteousness. In Daniel 12:2, Daniel wrote, "And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt." Two paths. But what is important is, where does the path that you're taking going to lead you? Where will it end? And of course, Daniel tells us, one of the paths will lead to everlasting life. The other path will lead to everlasting contempt. As we go through life, actually, We often come to the crossroads where we have to make our decision, which path shall I take? The one is the path of the cross, the denial of self, that I might follow Jesus and live for him. He said, if you will come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The other is the path of self-indulgence. It's living to please yourself. And the chief goal of life is pleasure and ease. And you are the center of your life, egocentric. The one path leading to everlasting life, Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. It's proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruit. And it yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it shall be in, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And then he affirms, these sayings are true and faithful. The Lord God in the holy prophet sent his angel to show the servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, Jesus said, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings and the prophecies of this book. The other path leads to everlasting shame and contempt. It's a good thing for people to just stop, as the prophet said, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and you shall find strength for your souls. The path you're on, it's important, and I think, to stop and to just take a look and analyze. If I continue this path I'm on today, where is it going to lead me? When I get to the end of this path, where will I be? Will I be with him in glory, or will I be separated from him forever? Important to ask yourself that question as you take a look at life, the path you're walking on. Where's it going to bring you when you get to the end? Something to consider, something to think about. Father, we pray that you'll help us today, that we might be wise in looking at life, looking at the path we're on, looking down the road ahead to continue the path I am on. Where will I end up? And Father, we pray that you'll help us to use real wisdom, and to realize that there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. But Lord, may we choose to take the path that you have set before us. May we walk, Lord, according to your will and according to your purpose. And so, Lord, help us this day to be wise in the choices that we make, that we might choose, Lord, to follow you, knowing that your word will come to pass, that you have said it and you will do it just as you said you would. And Lord, realizing that we can't alter or change that which you have said, may we, Lord, just seek to live in accordance with your word and be a light in this world. And Lord, that we might walk with you in close fellowship until that day in which, Lord, you draw us to be with you in your eternal kingdom. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. We appreciate what you are doing. And Lord, how we look forward to that day when your word will be completed in us and we are standing with you in your eternal kingdom, rejoicing forever in your love and in your goodness to us. Amen. Let's stand. The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you today. And so we would encourage you, if in looking at the path you're on, you're not really quite sure just where it's going to end up, that you don't live in that kind of a question. I wouldn't want to take a path that I didn't know where it is going to bring me when I get to the end of it. Where will I be? And so I would encourage you to this day make sure that the path you're on is the path that will lead to everlasting, eternal life with him in his kingdom, because you can be sure his word is going to stand. It's not going to fail, but you better be obedient and live according to his word, because it just is the certain, sure word of God that he's given to us. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.